What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rayfield Davis Podcast, talking hoop with Caleb First, former Mr. Indiana basketball, Purdue sophomore, had a great freshman season, looking for an excellent sophomore season. We're going to talk about a few different things, but first and foremost, we want to shout out Crew Life Foundation. Crew Life is having a fundraiser next week in Lafayette, the Ross A. Stadium. Caleb First will be there along with the men's basketball team, a few of the women's basketball team, and then your Purdue legends, Etwan Moore, Robbie Hummel, a few surprise guests. It should be a good time. Caleb, just want to congratulate you on your freshman season. Just want to, being from Fort Wayne, I always take different pride in that. Even though we weren't friends growing up or nothing like that, but when you're from Fort Wayne, you go to Purdue, I take a different pride in you. But just a little bit, how do you feel your freshman season went? How was the adjustment from high school, being a Mr. Basketball, to taking some lumps, having ups and downs as a freshman?
Yeah, it was definitely it was a hard season for sure. And, you know, whenever people ask me to describe it, I would always say more than anything, I would describe it as a big learning experience. Just moving from that level, you know, from the high school level, even playing, you know, in EYBL and stuff, you know, playing at a high school level, but moving up to like a true college level, especially a Big Ten level, is just a whole different beast. And so, you know, it was definitely hard at times, like I said, but, you know, it was something I was very grateful for. And I think it kind of helped me realize, you know, a lot of the things that I need to work on, and just, you know, kind of gave me a glimpse into, you know, what's ahead.
So I want to start there a little bit. That's something that all freshmen go through when you go in from freshman to sophomore year. You really find out what type of player you are, what you need to work on, what kind of you need to get in the gym. What are a few of those things that you honed in on this summer? I know you dealt with some injuries, so you couldn't do as much as you probably wanted to. But what were those little things you kind of want to tweak or you want to get better at?
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things for me was defense. And kind of like you said, although I wasn't able to be on the court because of having surgery and stuff, you know, I think there's still a lot of things that I could do to help my defense, even if it's not defense specifically. And so a big thing for me was getting stronger, especially so I could battle in the post more, you know, with hopefully, you know, being able to play more than five this year and stuff as well. And so just working on those things. And then, you know, now that I've been back, working on my quickness, working on guarding those perimeter guys more and being ready. And, you know, when we get those switches, sitting down on them and, you know, no blow bys, but no open shots as well.
How difficult is it to learn, I guess, the way Purdue plays defense? How hard was that for you as a freshman?
That was kind of a big thing for me. You know, obviously, like I said, individual defense was tough too, just because of the level of talent of all the guys involved, and you know, having to guard guys like Keegan Murray and stuff, you know, that's never an easy matchup. But you know, the team defense aspect as well is pretty tough. You know, Payne's got a great system defensively, but it definitely has quite a bit of a learning curve to it.
Right.
And if you're not talking constantly, if you're not moving constantly, you know, you're doing something wrong. And so that was a big thing for me that I had to learn, and something that I've really tried to work on and help, you know, kind of the incoming freshman with, is just always talking, you know, even if you don't like know if you're saying the right thing, at least you're saying something, and that's better than nothing.
No, facts. And like I say, I think you had a great freshman year. My freshman year, at the end of the year, it's like you think about transferring, but it's like, you didn't have a good enough year, nobody would want you. I had a bad freshman year. So I know the differences between good freshman year, bad freshman year. But yeah, mine sucked. Like, I asked, and too, defensively, I asked a lot of those questions too. Because one, well, I was at Purdue, coach, you wouldn't even play for Coach Owens, but Coach Owens called me the worst defender he recruited. So
really? I was
so bad on the perimeter where they had to put me at the four. So I'll put the four as a freshman. I'm 6'3". I'm guarding Adrian Payne, like 6'10", whatever.
Yeah.
But nah, I know I appreciate it, especially how hard you would play and hitting the glass and whatnot. But I want to take it back a little bit. Who put the basketball in your hands growing up? When did you decide basketball was going to be something you wanted to do? Or did you play other sports or have different interests?
So it's kind of a weird story. Baseball is actually kind of my favorite sport all the way growing up until just about middle school. But I played basketball like all through elementary and stuff. I started playing in second grade, and it was actually Luke Goody at Illinois. It was his dad that kind of first saw me, and he asked me to like come play with Luke's team, which he was the coach on. And so he was kind of the one
That's
that
what's up.
helped start it. He was one of the coaches on the team. And so it's kind of funny how that works out now. You know, obviously we're both playing in the Big Ten and stuff, and you know, being able to compete against each other. But yeah, baseball was always kind of my go-to in elementary school. And I actually wanted to quit basketball the first year I was playing it, but my mom wouldn't let me. She told me, she said, because it was in the middle of the year, so she said I had to at least finish the year, and if I still hated it, I could quit. But she won't let me quit in the middle of the year, which I wasn't very happy about at the time. But you know, looking back, hindsight 2020, it was a pretty good decision.
Your mom had to force you to become Mr. Basketball. That's funny.
I guess so, yeah.
So you didn't. Okay, two questions. First, before we get to that one, when you and Luke were playing when you guys were kids, who was winning those one-on-one games?
Oh, Luke, he was a million times better than me.
Really?
I was terrible for, man, until at least fourth, fifth grade, something like that. Even then, he was way better than me.
It's funny.
But no, it was definitely Luke.
So like you said, you didn't really enjoy the sport. You wanted to quit halfway through the year when you first started playing. When did you have that switch to the point where, not in the sense of maybe you love it, but I could be pretty good at this?
You know, I always like after that first year, you know, I kind of started to grow to like it. And I'd say I kind of stayed steady about that. It was probably around, I want to say like fifth or sixth grade, was kind of when I was, you know, started to realize like, hey, like I'm actually, you know, above average at this. Like this is something that, you know, I'm pretty good at, and I'd say you know, kind of have a talent for. And so that was kind of about the time too that I started to not grow out of like liking baseball, but baseball became less important to me. It wasn't something that I was as interested in as I had been, and so it kind of worked out well the way that it kind of flip-flopped baseball and basketball.
I get what you're saying. And when did what middle school did you go to? Just curious.
Blackhawk Christian. Yeah, I went there all the way. I started preschool actually, all the way until I
Okay.
graduated.
So were you familiar with like dudes like Russell Bird and whatnot?
Yep, I remember watching it when I was younger actually.
Oh, that's dope. That's cool. Yeah, Russell was a little bit older than me. That's who I played against. But when did you, I guess, who was the first school, college that came into the picture, started recruiting you? What was that process like?
Yeah, Purdue was actually the first one. Paint came to, I think it was one of my first open gyms, like the fall of my freshman year. And then they kind of recruited me throughout that whole year. And then it was like a month after the season ended, my freshman year that, you know, he offered me. So
And would you commit?
it was during sectionals time of my junior year. I don't know
Gotcha. Who
whether it be February, March, something like that.
else was in the mix for you?
It was a lot of Big Ten schools. Those are kind of the main ones that were recruiting me. There were like some ACC schools as well, but you know, mostly Big Ten, ACC, a couple Big East.
And what about Purdue Paint? Why Purdue?
You know, I would say there was a lot of reasons. Obviously, you know, Coach Painter and just, I mean, obviously, you know, Coach Payne's so great with developing guys and, you know, not just being a coach, but, you know, truly caring about his players as well. And I kind of saw the culture that the players have more than anything. That stuck out to me a lot as well. And it was just something that I wanted to be a part of and something that I thought was really special and that, you know, not, it didn't seem like a lot of the other schools and places had that.
I feel you. No, I agree. Paint always seems genuine. I would always say Paint's a guy like you see, like I see a guy like I don't know if you're familiar with Cusi Barlow, but he was at Purdue. He's not at Purdue, but just a couple weeks ago, he's back at Purdue watching practice. So yeah. He's always been that type of guy where if he sees good in you, if you try hard, if he has a relationship with you, he's going to always have it with you. You know what I mean? And for me, my relationship, like I tell guys all the time, my relationship with Paint, I committed when I was 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. I just turned 29. And the last like few years of our relationship is where you will see it really grown. And that's over a 15-year period. But I felt the same way, especially as far as like, I'm sure you felt, maybe you didn't feel, some coaches want to sell a dream.
Or whatever, yeah, for sure.
Certain things or whatnot. And you just don't have that type of things with Purdue.
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of people ask me, like, since I've been at Purdue, and they're like, how different is he from when he was recruiting you? You know, because they hear all these stories, and I've told every one of them, I'll say he's exactly the same. Yep. Not any different, which I think is really cool because, you know, kind of like I said, there is a lot of difference with some coaches, you know, versus what they show you versus what they get.
Yep. All right. But no, you go through the process, you come to Purdue, you win a high school, you won state, you miss mm-hmm. a basketball. When was that moment where you realized, I'm here, I'm in college basketball, I could play against these guys, I could play with these guys?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. It was probably my first college game, to be honest. Or like our scrimmage against Providence, like the first time we played against another team. Cause I think it's hard when you're playing against each other and practice and stuff and going up against each other. You know, at least for me personally, I think it's so much harder to score and create and just do all these things in practice. Cause you know, you're going against each other every day, you know, each other's plays, like, you know, how each other plays. You know, what each guy wants to do versus when you go against like a real team and they haven't seen you before.
Yep. No, I agree with that. And what was that? What was the biggest difference from, like, cause you played on a very high level circuit. When you think about the EYBL, you look not like you played for a bad high school program. You guys really taught basketball. So you knew the game. What was the biggest difference from the college game from the high school game?
Someone
that, it's like a kid asks, and you would say, be prepared for this.
Yeah. I'd probably say just the speed of the game. It's so much quicker. Obviously, the physicality is a big difference, too. And that stuck out as well. But the speed, just how quick everything happens, that was definitely the biggest thing. Like, I remember just talking to guys about it. And I'd say, like, I know what I want to do. And like, whether it's on defense or offense, and like my brain wants to do it, but it just feels like my body, it's always just a half second late, which is something that, you know, I kind of had to learn how to deal with and, you know, fix and figure out, as the year went on.
I feel that. And as far as the venues you guys played in, you played in some big time places. What was your favorite arena to go to? What arena are you looking forward to going back to this season?
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know if I could just choose one.
A couple.
Rutgers was obviously super cool because that was when we were number one and everything, and that place was crazy. IU is always crazy. Michigan State. Wisconsin, because that was for the –
You named three schools that hit buzzer beaters on y'all. That's crazy.
I know. I was just gonna say Wisconsin too. So that's that's four. So
you got, how does that feel? Let me stop there. How does that feel when? Because that is sick. That's sick. You guys got everybody's best crowd. You got everybody's best game. Beating you guys was the prize. What did that feel like?
Yeah. You know, obviously it's super cool to be in that position. And you know, the way I think, it means you're doing something right, you know. Right. So I feel like in the moment it's kind of hard to think about, but looking back, it's definitely pretty cool.
No, that's what's up. Going into this season, you guys got an entirely, a different team. Everybody, I feel like everybody except even Zach, everybody's stepping into a different role. When you think about even Travion leaving, Zach becoming the main the five. He's not no longer splitting that time with Trevion. It's no longer that conversation. That whatever, whatever. Yeah. You're coming into a different role. You got transfers. You got Brandon and Fletcher coming in as freshmen. What kind of are some things that if someone wants to ask, what will be different from this year's team from last year's?
Yeah. You know, obviously, I think, you know, with different guys and different, you know, skills that each guys have, although we will, you know, run the same offense, run the same defense, we'll do it in a little bit different way. You know, playing to each guy's strengths and, you know, playing to the team strengths as a whole, something which, you know, I think looking back, it's cool to see how good Payne's been with that. You know, if you take the 2019 Big Ten championship team with Carson and Ryan and all those guys and Grady and the way they played versus, you know, just a couple years prior, you know, when it was Isaac and PJ and Biggie and that thing. So I think that's definitely different. And just, you know, we're a young team as well, but I think, you know, that can work to our advantage in some ways. And, you know, obviously there's some ways that we'll have to grow because of that.
There you go. As far as across the league, I don't know if you look across it, but I feel as though it's a wide open league. It's no one's a clear favorite. Everybody has question marks. If you had to narrow it down to three things, if you guys do three things really well, where you say that will help you guys win the league, what would you put it to?
Yeah. I'd say number one's defense, first and foremost. That's something we struggled with last year, obviously. And, you know, I think it's just such a huge part, especially in the Big Ten, playing physical and, you know, playing that aggressive type of defense is a huge thing. Number two, probably execution. You know, that's both on defense and on offense. You know, you have to execute and do what your game plan is and be focused and detailed. And then, I guess that leads right in the third one, just being detailed in what we do. I think it's easy to get lost in the, you know, the grand scheme of things, not just in the game, but in the season as a whole, you know, kind of looking at the bigger picture, which is important, but at the same time, you know, you have to detail in and zeroing in on the specifics and whatever that may be.
No, that's true. No, I agree. And it's always the little things.
Yeah.
Win you the championships and, especially at the level you guys are playing at, the level to compete for a Big Ten championship, it's the difference between 2 points, 3 points, winning or losing at times.
Yeah.
And when you look at this summer and this offseason, and this is just more for me and my curiosity, mm-hmm. who was busting ass? Who was killing? Who was somebody that you say that person? And I'm sure a lot of guys had a good offseason, but which guy would you say stood out?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Zach's one of them just with the way that he, I mean, he's just so dominant being 7'4" and all that. But no, I'd say Trey Kaufman's, looked great so far, just the way that he's, you know, he had surgery last year and everything. And so he wasn't able to practice most of the year. And, you know, he kind of came back just as the year was ending and then, you know, kind of became full go, summer workouts were starting. So he's still, you know, he still hasn't been around, like been healthy for too long. So I think he's still kind of working back into that, just like I am, just like, you know, Braden is, just like Cam is and stuff, and Brian as well. You know, but he's looked really good so far. And it's just, yeah.
Exactly. No, that's dope. That's dope. And then just one more for me, man. I'll let you get out of here. If you weren't playing ball, you didn't play mm-hmm. football, wasn't doing a sport, what would you be doing?
Me? Oh, I'd be ready. I'd be getting ready to go to med school right now. That'd be what I'd be focusing on. I'm in pre-med right now is my degree. I mean, that's the focus is technically called biomedical health sciences, but that's always been one of my dreams. And it's something that, you know, still, obviously I want to play professionally and stuff, but hopefully afterwards, I don't know how it would all work out, but hopefully I'll be able to go and do that eventually still. What
position would you want to be?
That I'm not too sure about. I'm really interested in emergency medicine. That's kind of the main one that my focus has been on, but, you know, I've heard that as you get into residency and med school and stuff, you know, it all changes just depending on what you like. But that's right now, if I had to choose one, that's probably what I would choose.
Well, that's dope, man. What I'm a curious guy, man.
No, you're good. But,
what led you to want? Because what led you want to be a doctor? My roommate at Purdue, John McKeeman, he was too mad. He's a physician now. So
yeah,
I would see. Yeah, my senior year, I was like, he was studying for MCAT and stuff like that, and
yeah,
I see the stress levels that could bring. And so my question is, what made you want to pursue that? When did you decide that? Were you younger? Is that something that just came about?
Yeah, it's probably about my junior year when I took AP Bio, and it just, I don't know, that stuff just makes sense for me, and I think it's really interesting to see how the body works. And now that I've gotten into, like, I'm in organic chemistry right now. That's one of the classes I'm taking. And, you know, as I've gotten to that, obviously it's not so much as relating to the body as it is, you know, molecules and compounds and looking at them and seeing how they work and everything. I think it's just cool to see how our world works. And, you know, when you're a doctor, if there's something that doesn't work right, you can fix it. And I think it's a cool way to be able to help people in that way.
Oh, that's dope. You always was a pretty smart kid then, clearly.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. Yeah.
Well, that's what's up, man. You should tell more people that. That's real cool. I wish the best for you. I think when you're done playing, I think you'll play for a long time, obviously. And then when you're done playing, that positions love sports, so that'd be cool. That'd be
exactly. Thank you.
But no, man, I appreciate the time, Caleb. I'm looking forward to a big year for you, and not necessarily statistically, but I always say that freshman to sophomore year is a big jump, because like you said,
yeah,
you kind of get the pace of the game, you know, what coach wants from you. You've seen a year of film. I say when you open, shoot it. So that's always my advice. Uh-huh. But no, I think you guys are going to have a good year. I think the league, when you think about the Big Ten, is wide open. I think guys will have Indiana as the favorite, and I still think there's a lot of question marks, especially when you have to rely on freshmen for so much. And I think they'll be heavily dependent on a couple of their freshman guards. And I think you guys are right there in that mix. You put Rutgers, Iowa, maybe Michigan. I think you guys, that 4-5 team, I think it'd be a really good race to the end. But just want to let everybody out there know that we are having our Crew Life Foundation fundraiser Thursday, October 13th, at Ross A Stadium. Sure. Come out. You can get a ticket. You can go to my Twitter, at Rayfield Davis 3. You can go to Caleb's Twitter. You can follow the Purdue Alliance. Shout out to the Alliance and the way that they're using the NIL and connecting the players with foundations, not just my charity, but other charities, to be able to bring out the passions of others. Hopefully, one day you get connected, Caleb, with kids that want to become physicians and also are athletes. I think that type of stuff is real dope. But how do people find you, Caleb? How do they find you? Twitch, Twitter, and your Instagram?
I'm not too active on any of them, but it's just at Caleb First, my first name and last name. I can't promise I'll post much or anything. I usually post about once a year on each of them, a little bit more on Twitter because it's more casual, but usually post about once a year on each of them. So I can't promise too much content.
Old school man in a new school world. But no, and thank everybody for listening. Boiler Up, Hammer Down, the Rayfield Davis Podcast, Talking Hoops. We'll be back at it every single week leading into the season. Stay tuned.